I am now going to read chapter 3 of Ajahn Sujin's book on the perfections, translated by Nina. Chapter 3, The Perfection of Morality. The commentary to the Basket of Conduct defines the perfection of morality as follows. I quote, "Virtue, sila, has the characteristic of composing, silana, coordinating, samadana, and establishing, patitana, are also mentioned as its characteristic. Its function is to dispel moral depravity, or its function is blameless conduct. Its manifestation is moral purity. Shame and moral dread are its proximate cause." Unquote. The transgression of morality, sila, such as killing, stealing, sexual misconduct, is motivated by akusala, by attachment, loba, aversion, dosa, and ignorance, moha. When someone commits evil deeds, he lacks metta, loving kindness towards others. All akusala kamas are conditioned by clinging to visible object, sound, smell, flavor, tangible object, and the wrong view that there is a self, a being, or a person. The stream winner who has realized the Four Noble Truths and attained the first stage of enlightenment has eradicated the defilements in accordance with that stage of enlightenment. He observes the five precepts perfectly. He cannot transgress them anymore. If one is not a stream winner, which precepts can one observe? Even before we are a stream winner, we should not transgress the precepts. The coarse defilements can be subdued and worn away until panya will be developed to the degree of a perfection and is able to realize the Four Noble Truths. The perfection of sila is an excellent quality, a supporting condition for reaching the further shore, namely the eradication of defilements. We read about akittis sila in the commentary to the Basket of Conduct, and I quote, "When the Buddha was the ascetic akitti, he dwelt in a kara wood with strength and energy to fulfill the ascetic practices, tapa, that is, the perfection of sila. Sila is indeed called ascetism because it burns the impurity of akusala. Even so, the perfection of renunciation and the perfection of energy are called ascetism, tapa, because they burn their strengths, the impurity, they burn by their strengths the impurity of clinging and laziness." Unquote. The ten perfections are supporting conditions for each other, also at the time when the Buddha was the ascetic akitti. He accumulated the perfection of sila together with the other perfections, such as renunciation and energy. We read, quote, "At the time he was the ascetic akitti, he built a hermitage beside a great kara tree. When this tree gave fruits, he fed on them. And when there were no fruits, he fed on its leaves sprinkled with water. Thus he had time and opportunity to apply himself to the attainment of jhana. The ascetic akitti searched for kara leaves that were sufficient for only one meal a day, because he found that searching for food for two meals would not lead to the eradication of defilements." Unquote. This is the perfection of patience, because his life was not involved with the urge to eat. We further read, Quote, his behavior caused Sakka, the king of the Devas, to wonder why the ascetic Akiti had such pure conduct of action, speech, and thought, was devoid of attachment in his life, and had kara leaves as his only food, which were ascetic practices most difficult to perform. Unquote. We should know the aim of our practice, such as the observing of sila, morality. People who want to give up attachment to visible object, sound, odor, flavor, and tangible object should know why they are doing this. We further read, quote, when Sakka saw this, he wondered why the ascetic Akiti observed such practice. He thought that the ascetic Akiti practiced in this way because he desired to become Sakka, king of the Devas. Sakka, in the guise of a Brahmin, came to see the ascetic Akiti, thinking by himself, if the ascetic Akiti wishes to become Sakka, he will give me this sodden kara leaves, but if he has not such a wish, he will not give them away. That is what Sakka thought. Sakka thought, indeed, that if Akiti would aspire to become Sakka, he would fulfill the perfection of generosity, dana, and give away his food. So we further read, and quote, when the ascetic Akiti noticed that the Brahmin was in need of food, he took the sodden kara leaves and gave them all to the Brahmin. He did the same the second day and the third day. Unquote. Here we see that the akusala he performed at those times were actually the perfections of generosity, dana, of morality, sila, of renunciation, nekama, of patience, kanti, of energy, virya, of determination or steadfastness, adetana, and of truthfulness, sakka, that is, sincerity in the performing of kusala. He fulfilled these perfections in order to attain Buddhahood. All the perfections are interrelated and they support one another. Akiti was steadfast in generosity. He did not hesitate because of avarice. He did not long for anything in life, not even for something very slight. This is the perfection of sincerity. We read, quote, the ascetic Akiti was unshakable in generosity, while he offered his sodden kara leaves for 3 consecutive days. He fulfilled the perfection of loving kindness, metta, by his disposition to give assistance to all beings. He fulfilled the perfection of equanimity, upekkha, by even-mindedness or neutrality, not being disturbed by controversial conduct of people or by trying events. Sakka, the king of the Devas, begged for food for 3 consecutive days, but the ascetic Akiti was unshakable in his determination to give, and he gave, no matter who was asking. We read, quote, as regards the perfection of Panya, he knows which Dhammas are beneficial conditions for the fulfillment of the perfections and which are not. He abandons the Dhammas which are not beneficial and he directs his practice towards those which are beneficial. When Sakka knew the disposition of the ascetic Akiti, he offered a boon, whereupon the great being, the ascetic Akiti, explained the Dhamma with regard to the receiving of boons. Further on in the commentary we read, quote, Sakka noticed that the ascetic Aketi dwelt in contentedness, and he asked him, "What, great Brahman, are you wishing for, that you are dwelling here all alone in the heat?" Unquote. Sakka interrogated Aketi, because he wanted to know about his sincerity in practicing virtue to the highest degree, so that even Sakka called him great Brahmin. We read, quote, Aketi answered, "Sakka, king of the Devas, rebirth is dukkha, the breaking up of the body is dukkha, and dying with delusion is dukkha. Therefore I dwell here all alone." And Sakka answered, "Well spoken, Kassapa. You express this very well. I will give you a boon. Choose whatever you wish." Unquote. One may have wondered what this means. Here, the firm determination for the development of Kusala is shown of the ascetic Aketi who wishes for a boon. The boon that he wishes for are all the 10 perfections. We read, quote, the ascetic Aketi said, "Sakka, Lord of the Devas, you have offered me a boon. People who have children, a wife, possessions, and all kinds of pleasant things are attached to them, even though their attachment does not cause any harm. However, I wish to be free from all degrees of attachments to such things. That is the boon I would like to have." Unquote. This shows that he had a precise understanding of his own cittas. He did not wish to have attachment, even if it would not cause any harm. Someone who has no firm determination in the development of the perfections may believe that attachment makes life comfortable and pleasant, and that, so long as attachment does not cause any harm, there is no danger in it. However, Aketi wanted to be free from all attachment, and this is steadfastness in Kusala of the degree of imperfection. We read, quote, thereupon Sakka said, "You have well spoken, Kassapa. What else do you wish for?" Unquote. Do we wish for a boon? That will be a condition for Akusala, for Kusala to become more steadfast, just as in the case of Aketi. What he just asked was not sufficient yet. The following boon that the ascetic Aketi wished for shows again the meaning of Kusala to the degree of imperfection. We read that Aketi said, quote, Sakka, the lord of all devas, has offered me a boon. Lands, goods and gold, cows, horses, slaves and relatives decay and pass away. May I not have such unsatisfactoriness? Unquote. The loss of possessions is akusala vipaka, the result of akusala kama that has been performed by oneself. There will not be such loss if one does not commit akusala kama. And we read that Aketi asked as a boon, quote, may there not be any akusala kama that could cause such loss. And Sakka said, Kassapa, what else do you wish? The ascetic Aketi said, please give me this boon. May I not see or hear a fool, nor be in his company, and may I not like to converse with him. Sakka asked, what is the reason, Kassapa, that you do not like fools nor wish to see them? Unquote. If we wish to develop the perfection of renunciation, we should carefully consider this passage. If we associate with fools, we cannot develop renunciation. The perfections are interrelated, and from the beginning we should consider all of them. And then we further read, quote, "Then the ascetic Akiti said, 'Fools advise to do what is improper. They are likely to be engaged with improper activities. It is difficult to advise them to perform good deeds. When someone speaks to them in a wholesome way, hoping that they will become righteous, they retort with anger. Fools do not know the rules of right conduct, Vinaya. It is beneficial not to see fools.'" And then Sakka asked, "Kassapa, what else do you wish for?" And the ascetic Akiti said, "Sakka, king of the Devas, if you like to give me a boon, I would ask you the following boon. People should see wise men. They should listen to them, seek their company, and cherish conversations with them." Sakka questioned Akiti so that he would give a clear explanation for the benefit of those who wish to have precise understanding and who study the Dhamma. Therefore, Sakka asked Akiti, "Kassapa, please explain the reason why you like to associate with the wise, why you wish to see the wise." And the ascetic Akiti said, "The wise advise to do what is proper. They are not engaged with improper activities. It is easy to encourage the wise. They do not retort well-spoken words with anger. They know well right conduct. It is good to associate with the wise." And then Sakka asked, "What else do you wish for?" And the ascetic Akiti said, "When the night is spent and the sun, the ruler of the world, rises, may divine food and holy mendicants appear, and may the food that I will offer not become exhausted. May I not repent my deed, but give with a pure mind. This is a boon I wish for." And Sakka then asked, "What else do you wish for?" The ascetic Akiti said, "Sakka, king of the Devas, if you want to give me a boon, may you not visit me again." Unquote. This is the last boon the ascetic Akiti asked for. It shows that he was not heedless with regard to the akusala he had accumulated. Sakka was most surprised because everybody wishes to see sons and daughters of devas, divine beings. Some people develop kusala of the degree of calm in order to see devas. But the ascetic Akiti wished that Sakka would not visit him again. We then read, quote, "Sakka said, 'Many people wish to see, because of their righteous conduct, sons and daughters of devas. What is the danger in seeing me?' And the ascetic Akiti answered, 'I may transgress my vow as ascetism when I see the appearance of devas, beings who are full of glory and delightful to the senses. This is the danger in seeing you.' Thereupon Sakka said, 'This is good, revered one. From now on I shall not visit you again.' And Sakka departed. The Bodhisatta dwelt in the same place during this whole life. After he passed away, he was reborn in the world of the Brahma. The Reverend Anuruddha was Sakka. The Buddha was the ascetic Akiti." The ascetic Akiti was heedful. He did not even want to see what could be a danger to him. We can learn a lesson from this story. We should consider the perfections with regard to our own life. We have a long way to go in order to attain the realization of the Four Noble Truths and the eradication of defilements. If we do not understand what the perfections really are, we do not have the firm determination to study the Dhamma in order to have right understanding, to apply the Dhamma and to practice it with sincerity, which is the perfection of truthfulness. We should study and practice without being disturbed by the worldly conditions of gain, loss, honor, dishonor, praise and blame, happiness and misery. If we are unshakable by these worldly conditions, we are just beginning to develop the perfections so that they become more firmly established. If we consider the perfections developed by the Buddha life after life as related in the basket of conduct, we can see that our development of the perfections is still very insignificant compared to his development. There is an immense difference between our development and his. Therefore, we should further develop all the perfections. We should not have expectations with regard to right understanding of the characteristics of nama and rupa, which arise and fall away very rapidly at this moment. The truth cannot be realized immediately, but understanding must be developed very gradually during an endlessly long time. We read at the end of the commentary to the conduct of Akiti, quote, "There may be confidence in him," in the Bodhisatta, "confidence that it is possible to be freed from dukkha. But one may merely express words about this confidence and not act accordingly by the practice in conformity with the Dhamma, just as the Buddha did." Unquote. Thus, it is not sufficient to merely have confidence in the perfections the Buddha developed during his former lives, but we should also apply these perfections in daily life. If we express our confidence merely by words, even though there is kusala citta at that moment, but if we do not act accordingly by the right practice, we shall not reach the goal. We may consider the perfections that we begin to develop. We wish to listen to the Dhamma and to learn about the practice in accordance with the Dhamma. We need the perfection of energy, virya, in order to be able to listen. If there is no energy or right effort, we do not come to listen to the Dhamma, but we rather listen to another subject that gives us pleasure and entertainment. When we listen to the Dhamma, we also need the perfection of patience, kanti, because sometimes we have to listen to what does not interest us very much. Without patience, we cannot develop the other perfections, such as the perfection of morality, sila. Without the perfection of sila, we shall transgress morality by our deeds and speech. It is most important with whom we associate. The ascetic Akiti said with regard to himself that he did not wish to see, to hear, or to be close to fools. The commentary to the basket of conduct compares association with fools to the tasting of water that has a bitter, unpleasant flavor, and association with wise persons to the tasting of sweet water. Also, the Bodhisatta had at times to associate with fools. For example, during one of his lives, the Bodhisatta belonged to a clan of people with wrong view. In his life as the Brahmin youth Jyotipala, he was born into a family of people who had wrong view and no confidence in the Buddha. Jyotipala followed his parents in their disdain of the Buddha. The Brahmins who had wrong view had no confidence in the Buddha Kassapa, who was, as we know, the last Buddha before the Buddha Gautama. The commentary to the Discourse on Gatikara, middle-length sayings, Dipa Pancha Sudani, dealt with the accumulation of the perfections by the Bodhisatta until the life he was Jyotipala, when he came into contact with people of wrong view. The commentary compared the accumulated perfections to a brightly shining fire which during that life came into contact with water and was therefore extinguished by it, so that the rays of light disappeared and only black charcoal was left. We do not know our past lives, but we can learn from the story of the Bodhisatta as Jyotipala. Although he had accumulated the perfections to a high degree, he still associated with fools. We can learn that we should not be heedless and see the danger in association with fools. We read in the commentary to the Basket of Conduct, in Miscellaneous Sayings, unquote, "Now comes the method of practicing the perfection of virtue, sila. Since the great man desires to adorn beings with the adornment of the virtue of the omniscient, at the beginning he must first purify his own virtue. Herein, virtue is purified in four modes. 1. By the purification of one's inclinations. 2. By the undertaking of precepts, samadana. 3. By non-transgression, avitikakamana. And 4. By making amends for transgressions, patipakatikarana." Unquote. In this way, we can check sila in our own daily life. We should know whether our sila is pure. And we further read, quote, "For someone who is dominated by personal ideas, is naturally disgusted with evil through the purity of his own inclinations, and purifies his conduct by arousing his inward sense of shame, hiri. Someone else who is dominated by consideration for the world, afraid of evil, purifies his conduct by receiving precepts from another person, and by arousing his sense of moral dread, otapa. Both establish themselves in virtue through non-transgression. But if, due to forgetfulness, they sometimes do break a precept, through their sense of shame and moral dread, respectively, they quickly make amends for it through the proper means of rehabilitation." Unquote. In these ways, sila is purified. We further on read about the virtue of the Bodhisatta, quote, "When he speaks, his statements should be truthful, beneficial, and endearing, and his talk measured, timely, and concerned with the Dhamma. His mind should always be devoid of covetousness, ill will, and perverted views. He should possess the knowledge of the ownership of Kama, and have settled faith and affection for recluses and Brahmins who are faring and practicing rightly. By desisting from false speech, his word comes to be authoritative for others. He is regarded as reliable and trustworthy, one whose statements are always accepted. He is dear and agreeable to deities. His mouth gives off a sweet fragrance, and he guards his bodily and vocal conduct. He achieves distinguished characteristics and eradicates the mental impressions of the defilements. By desisting from slander, he obtains a retinue and following that cannot be divided by the attacks of others. He possesses unbreakable faith in the true Dhamma. He is a firm friend, as exceedingly dear to beings as though they were acquainted with him in the last existence. And he is devoted to non-defilement. By desisting from harsh speech, he becomes dear and agreeable to beings, pleasant in character, sweet in speech, held in esteem, and he develops a voice endowed with 8 factors. By desisting from idle chatter, he becomes dear and agreeable to beings, revered, held in esteem. His statements are accepted and his talk measured. He acquires great influence and power and becomes skillful in answering the questions of others with ingenuity that creates opportunities to benefit others. And when he reaches the plane of Buddhahood, he becomes capable of answering the numerous questions of beings, speaking numerous languages, all with a single reply. Through his freedom from covetousness, he gains what he wishes and obtains whatever excellence possessions he needs. He is honored by powerful Katyas. He can never be vanquished by his adversaries, is never defective in his faculties, and he becomes the peerless individual. Unquote. If one develops kusala without expecting any result for oneself, there will be a result in conformity with the kusala one performs. Someone may speak well, expressing himself in beautiful words, but when he speaks, he should think of the well-being of the listener. He should know whether the listener will be ill, at ease, or happy. If there is sati sampajanya, sati and panya, he will refrain from speech that causes the listeners to be uncomfortable, even though he does not speak an untruth. If sati sampajanya arises, it will cause one to speak in a beneficial, agreeable way. If someone does not expect any result for himself, his kusala will bring its result, as the Buddha explained. We read further on in the commentary, quote, "Through his freedom from ill will, he gains a pleasant appearance. He is esteemed by others, and because he delights in the welfare of beings, he automatically inspires their confidence. He becomes lofty in character, abides in loving kindness, and acquires great influence and power. Through his freedom from wrong views, he gains good companions. Even if he is threatened with a sharp sword, he will not perform an evil deed. Because he holds to the ownership of karma, he does not believe in superstitious omens. His faith in the true Dhamma is established and firmly rooted. He has faith in the enlightenment of the Tathagatas, and no more delights in the diversity of outside creeds than a royal swan delights in a dung heap." Unquote. Here we see the refinement of the citta that is averse from wrong view. One should not associate with people who have wrong view. People who do not understand which cause brings which effect may cling to superstitious omens. They may listen to the Dhamma and have confidence in it. But if they are not firmly established in their confidence of the true Dhamma, they may still be carried away by superstitious beliefs and lack understanding of cause and effect. Sila is twofold, as avoidance, varita, and as performance, karita. Sila as avoidance is abstaining from evil. Sila as performance is the right conduct one should follow. We may abstain from akusala and not transgress the precepts, but with regard to sila as performance, we should consider the bodhisattva's conduct, so that we shall further develop kusala. We read further on, quote, "Herein, at the appropriate time, a bodhisattva practices salutation, rising up, giving respectful greetings, and observing courteous conduct towards good friends worthy of reverence. At the appropriate time, he renders them service, and he waits upon them when they are sick. When he receives well-spoken advice, he expresses his appreciation. He praises the noble qualities of the virtuous and patiently endures the abuse of antagonists. He remembers help rendered to him by others, rejoices in their merits, dedicates his own merits to the supreme enlightenment, and always abides diligently in the practice of wholesome states. When he commits a transgression, he acknowledges it as such and confesses it to his co-religionists. Afterwards, he perfectly fulfills the right practice. He is adroit and nimble in fulfilling his duties towards beings when these are conducive to their good. He serves as their companion. When beings are afflicted with the suffering of disease, he prepares the appropriate remedy. He dispels the sorrow of those afflicted by the loss of wealth, etc. Of a helpful disposition,